the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Okay. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
Yeah.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. And once she grabs, she won't let go. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
None of that soft stuff.
Rock, rock.
None of that heavy metal stuff.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
Just a little bit of jazz.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
What do you think?
Just
I
like
love
that.
It. Thank you. It is election day, or I should say, the final day of this here election season. And thank God it's over. Almost over. And the best part of it is we will not have to watch any more of those commercials. Yeah, that's the best part of it. But a lot of us are feeling a bit, what's the word? Trepidatious today? Is that I don't know if that fits or not. Because, you know, the media has been doom and gloom for the Democrats. In fact, every time you turn it on, it's about, how many seats the Republicans need to win to take back the House, how many they need to win to take back the Senate. How about framing it the other way? How Democrats hold on to them. You see, they've already had this predetermined idea because of history, I guess, and because of the way they like to do things, that the Democrats are going to get beat and bad. Although the logical side of my brain says that is possible, I refuse to go there. So I'm on the Book of Face earlier today, and somebody that I know, actually a Facebook friend, not a personal friend, made a really defeatist comment. It was like in such terms. I'm like, so I wrote, wow, way to bring the negativity. And he's like, oh, blame me. Well, I blame everybody because the media says it and everybody echoes it. How about just saying the last few election cycles, the polls were all wrong. Who's to say they're right now? We're seeing massive early voting numbers. So I will try to take a cue from that. Now, I got to say, I'm not stupid. I mean, I don't have blinders on. I know what's going on. And unfortunately, sorry, I don't know what's up with my voice today. Here in Florida, things are not good for the Democrats. It's one of the reasons we're getting ready to leave. Because the Florida Democratic Party, I believe, is derelict in their duties. They have been ineffective the entire time I've been here, and they have hemorrhaged support because there's no there there. They didn't know how to recover from 4 years ago when Andrew Gillum was defeated by a moron death sentence by, I think it was 0.4 percentage points, like 0.4 of a percentage point. It was so close. Could have gone either way. And since then, the Florida Democratic Party has been basically worthless. Their registrations were down. There were always more registered Democrats in the state of Florida historically than Republicans until this year. And that changed, and it changed in a huge way, huge way. In fact, let me see if I can't find this tweet that I thought I saved. Oh, of course, my like button. I use the like button. If anybody ever looked at what I liked on Twitter, they would borderline complicit, not ineffective. Okay, that works. Yeah. They have been complicit. Lost my train of thought now. This is what I get when I try to do two things at once. I know. I was pulling up my... if you looked at what I like on Twitter, you might be a little shocked by it. I don't use it for liking. I use it as a way of bookmarking tweets. So they, you know, the tweets that I want to save come up in a column. So it doesn't mean that I'm liking them. Although this may all be moot soon anyway, because I don't think I'm going to be on Twitter a whole lot longer. We'll get into that. Here you go. This is what I was about to, this is the last tweet I saved from a guy named Kevin Cate, C-A-T-E. I don't even know who he is. He makes ads, films, and progress. All right. He owns Katecom, former Barack Obama spokesperson. Okay. That's who Kevin Cate is. And what he tweeted that I saved is, quote, at the rate Florida is going, an NPA candidate, NPA meaning no party affiliation, an NPA candidate for governor may have a better shot than a Democrat in 2026. It's that bad. Complete collapse. We either reset or go extinct. Lovely. Lovely, she says facetiously. All right. Well, with that, because there's a, you know, it is election day or the end of this really fucked up election season, I say, let's bring Laffy in, shall we?
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with a laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Yo, laughter.
I'm like off here.
You are. You're off center. You need to move to you. I think to your left.
I can't.
Okay, hold on. Then yeah. I will magically move you. Give me 1 second. Ooh. Here. I can do that because I am all powerful. All right, there we go. And watch this. It's as if by magic. Zoom. Yeah. There we go. Hi. I moved you.
Hi.
See, you didn't
Look
even have to do anything.
You didn't even mess my hair up
I know.
Or blow my face. Speaking of blowing wind in my face, we're having a storm here in Southern California.
Unless her name is Nicole, I don't want to hear about it.
No, it's not that. it's just, you know, windy, rainy, which we're not used to, but
I understand.
It's windy, rainy. But the reason I'm telling you this is because my electricity is flickering.
Okay. Well, we have a hurricane coming. So, you know, all things in perspective. I get it. You're in California. It doesn't rain.
No. I just mean that if something happens,
I know your power
talking.
Could go out. Yeah, so could mine at any moment because hurricane. So here's the latest, though. It was headed straight for us. And yesterday, I put out some wishful thinking into the universe. And I said, please let it just turn a little bit north. It turned a little bit north. So now it may be headed straight towards Mar-a-Lago, which would be okay with me, although still too close for comfort for my taste. It's already, it's looking, you know, like dark clouds out there, but not really stormy yet. But it's supposed to be impacting the outer band today. Palm Beach County could get a direct hit tonight, tomorrow. We'll see. I would love it to take out that beach shack that the former guy lives in. It's a big
That's
shack.
That's one of my favorite fantasies, by the way.
Oh, mine
just
too.
Just wipe out Mar-a-Lago completely.
Oh,
wipe
that
out.
Would be so much fun.
In fact, I wouldn't mind if he was sitting there watching it, you know, in his on his golden toilet or something.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but the thing is, he couldn't watch it because if he gets a direct hit, they will not have power there, so he won't be able to watch the television.
Oh, no, I meant actually they're watching it live.
Oh.
And in person.
Well, yeah, he's down here. I know he's down here because he voted in Florida today. He was asked by a reporter, did you vote for DeSantis? Because you heard what he called him the other day, right?
Ron. No, I didn't.
Oh, Ron. Oh, wait, let me find it then. Because I, hold on 1 second. Do I have it here? Here it is. Here. I won't play the video. I won't subject anyone to that. Hopefully you can hear this. So tell me if you can you hear this?
But we have the best poll numbers.
Yeah.
Where are
okay.
they?
So this is you know, the former guy at a rally here in Florida. Here.
They're putting them up on the screen? I think so. Put them up. Look.
They're putting his polls up at a campaign rally for someone
else.
Putting
them up. We're winning big, big, big in the Republican Party for the nomination like nobody's ever seen
like
before.
Like nobody's ever seen before.
Let's see. There it is. Trump at 71. Ron DeSanctimonious at 10%.
Rhonda Sanctimonious. I wonder who came up with that for him, because I don't think he understands the word sanctimonious.
No, I'm surprised he can even pronounce it.
Yeah, me too. Well, he rehearsed it a few times.
I'm sure he did.
He got so much pushback from Republicans that he then, at the next rally he did, he didn't use that word again. He didn't use his nickname for him again. So he's trying to, you know, play both sides against the middle, I guess. Now today he admitted that he voted for him. Wow. What a big man he is. He voted for the Republican.
He voted for the party Woo-hoo. Guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, I have been, like, willfully and intentionally ignoring a lot of the news.
Yeah.
You know, like, I won't watch anything about Trump. If it comes my way, I'll see it. I won't ignore it. But I haven't heard anything about that with the thing you just said. I did read that he had called him a name, and I thought, oh, I don't care. I really don't care.
I know. But, you know, I did because it's here. And as long as I'm still here, I'm still here. Oh, let me do this now before I forget.
Okay.
So we do have a timeline of sorts. Somebody went into the chat room earlier, and let me see if I can find it, said, I haven't been here in a while. Can someone tell me why Nicole is moving possibly out of state? Well, here, I've been out of the loop for a few months. Why is Nicole moving possibly to another state? Well, we need to be out of this house by the end of the month.
Right.
A bank. You know, they're weird that way sometimes.
They're so picky, aren't they?
I know. Can you imagine? So we've got to be out by the end of the month. Now, here's the thing. We don't know where we're going yet. We've got a few scenarios that will all play out depending on what happens today. So we are thinking of Arizona for a number of reasons. One, David lived there for a few years. He went to Arizona State University. And his son followed him there, went to ASU, and still lives in Tempe and, you know, has a life there. So we haven't really seen Max in years, except for quick visits a couple of times. So there's that. For me, selfishly, one of my best friends just moved to the Phoenix area. I have another very, very dear friend in Tucson. And it's a lot closer to California than Florida is, which is where most of my other friends are. Here in Florida,
I don't have
friends in Florida. I got nothing going on here. And now it's turning into fascism USA.
Right.
And, you know, but if by some chance Charlie Crist pulls a rabbit out of his hat and wins, which is not looking like it's going to happen, then we would think of staying in Florida. Though, to be honest, I don't know where we would go because everything has gotten so expensive. So, Karen in the chat room says Nevada, possible, possible, but Nevada is questionable right now too. The thing is, David will not go anywhere cold, anywhere it snows. So we are limited in our geographical, destinations. So, anyway, that's where we are. Because Nicole is wanted by the police. What? Yeah, no. That's Hernan in the chat.
Oh, those rumors. Yeah. Those rumors.
I'm not wanted by the police. But so
if
Carrie Lake wins the governor's race in Arizona, I ain't going to Arizona.
No way. Uh-uh.
If Katie Hobbs wins, that's where we're going. We may not know for a week or so. So the thing is, we got to be out of here at the end of the month. So regardless, I need to start disassembling my studio. So here's the deal. Unless something happens and the bank decides to let us stay here, and we're talking about, you know, renting it back from them for a few months or something, you know, but we'll see. I don't think it's going to happen. We've got to be out by the end of the month. So here's the schedule. The 23rd is the day before Thanksgiving. I will do a show that day. The 24th on Thanksgiving, I'll do a musical show for Thanksgiving. I love to supply the soundtrack for your Thanksgiving dinner. It's non-traditional Thanksgiving music. And then after that, I'm gone. We'll have best of shows, or more accurately, you know, shows that have already aired. We'll have reruns for the next few weeks until I get to a place where I can set up my studio again. I'm hoping it'll only be about 2 or 3 weeks, but it could be a little longer. Lauren says Colorado could be a good option, Nicole. Colorado's too cold for my weather wimpy husband.
So, not all of it.
Yeah, all of it. Colorado snows
really?
In the winter. Oh, yeah.
All over?
All over. Oh. All over Colorado. New Mexico, not so much, but the parts of New Mexico that don't get really cold, I don't want to live in. So,
what about Oregon?
Too cold. I'd go to Oregon. He won't. Because
it's inland, it's not that cold.
It is cold. It may not snow, but it is cold.
He just doesn't like any cold. It's snow
right.
aside. He doesn't
right.
okay.
damp
okay.
coldness that they have in Oregon and in Portland or San Francisco. He's standing in the door shaking his fist at me now. Right,
inland,
I understand. It's too cold. Yeah,
okay.
He gets weird. He puts on his old man tracksuit sweats when it gets below like 73. You know?
Oh God!
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
he's worse than I am.
And now he's going. Okay. What? You want to say something? No, he doesn't like being called a weather wimp, but I'm sorry, he's a weather wimp. So
yeah, he's worse
anyway.
Than I am.
Now,
I grew up in
unfortunately,
Southern California.
Yeah, okay, but unfortunately, the Powerball, which I was kind of banking on, was won by one person in California.
Right.
So, you know, I'm shit out of luck there. Oh, here he is. Yes, Mr. Man.
How long is this slander going to continue?
As long as you won't go where it's cold.
And do I need to retain counsel?
No, I'm not going to sue.
I think Elena Haba might have some spare time.
Who?
Elena Haba.
Who's that?
One of the Lard Father's attorneys.
Oh, sorry. I'm not up on who he's
Oh, I forgot her name.
Retained.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure Rudy Giuliani has some time on his hands.
Well, you go hang with Rudy because he's so effective. He'll really, you know, help you. Yeah. So, and that's the other part. Honey Bunny says Eastern Oregon is desert-like, but lots of red.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
right.
And that's one
right.
thing I'm trying to escape from here in Florida, which, again, right. especially where I live, used to be safe blue territory. Not no more.
That's awful.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm surrounded by Trumpies here. So,
yeah, it's happening more and more. I mean, look, I'm out again, Broward County, bluest county in all of Florida, and I'm seeing way too many DeSantis signs for my taste. And Rubio is just such a despicable character. I mean, these are the dregs of the Republican Party down here. And the brainwashed people, I'm telling you, it's not the heat. It's the humidity. It just fries the brain. It fries the brain. That's
well, we've where I live, it's always been pretty conservative. It's actually gone bluer. But I've noticed the signs coming up, and they're always for the candidates. These are for local offices, but they're always the Republican signs that go up. Everywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I know. And again, in this area, it didn't used to be that way. You know, and again, let me go off on the Florida Democratic Party and the Broward County Democratic Party. So Death Sentence did a rally in Coral Springs. There's a Wings and Wings on Sample Road that is MAGAT headquarters. They, you know, they've had Trump there. It says MAGA as you can get, honestly. Yeah. So, you know, I've never been in that restaurant, but they take over this whole strip mall parking lot. So they had Death Sentence out there last week. And since that day, you know, obviously his advance people were here and they put up DeSantis signs all around the city. They're everywhere. Ugh. And you're legally not allowed to take them down, or believe me, I would have. But you'd think that the Democratic mm-hmm. Party would say, okay, let's go around and put out signs. No.
It's like that in California.
I've not seen a single Charlie Crist sign, a Val Demings sign, nothing. I've seen nothing because they're absent. They're just
I remember
horrible.
driving down the coast. I think we'd gone to San Francisco and we were driving home. This is only a few years ago, like maybe two elections ago. And, or more than that, I guess, because of COVID. But I was looking at all the signs, and they were all for Republicans. And I was screaming. I was just like, "What? Why isn't there a so-and-so sign? How come so-and-so doesn't?" I actually ended up calling one of the offices, and I can't even remember what they said anymore. But I don't understand it. The one thing I love about being in Canada, there is, I don't know their candidates. You know, like if I'm driving along and I see a sign, I know who that is. And I don't have to see anything about American Republicans. It's just Canadian, whoever
right.
they are.
Well, because you're in Canada.
Well, so, we'll be.
Right, right. So when do you go back? When is your next trip?
December 18th, I think it is.
Okay.
We're going up. We're going up because, one, we want to be up there during the worst couple of months in winter so we can experience it. We don't want to just, like, move there and never have
uh-huh.
snow. You know, like,
right.
And also because our kids, our grown-up kids, who are, you know, who have their master's degrees and careers, have to start college again in order to get work permits, in order to get work, in order to get in.
Right.
So they start school in January, so they're going to be moving up. They're going to come up on so the very end of December. So we're going to be there to greet their moving stuff. You know, like if something is sent or shipped, excuse me, we'll be there to receive it. And then they're going to be bringing the rest up in the car.
Right.
So they'll be there and they'll be living there. We won't. We'll
right.
be gone in. We'll be coming back down here in January.
Okay. Well, by then, hopefully I'll be back on the air. The yeah. other thing we're going to do though, is while we're on the road, I will do updates. I will do, you know, I'll take a camera. We'll do YouTube updates. And when I get a few of them, I'll have my laptop. I'll try to edit them together and then upload a show that Progressive Voices can run. So it won't be all repeats while mm-hmm. I'm in transit trying to figure out where I'm going next. This is kind of stressful, by the way, knowing that in 3 weeks, I need to have everything out of this house, which
I don't know how you could do that and then be situated in another 3 weeks. Like you said, it might be.
Oh, I know. Well, no, we
can't.
Won't be.
You're
no,
not
I'm going to have
a
temporary set up. I won't have all the bells and whistles that I do now.
I got it.
But I will
like
have
we did at Netroots Nation. Just have
yeah,
a.
I'll have a temporary setup, hopefully,
yeah.
that I can occasionally do, you know, a show once we get there. Because I don't. All our stuff, I think we're going to wind up doing like a pods thing and just pack it all and let them hold on to it till we know where we're going. Because we don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, someone in the chat room suggested like the Lancaster or Inland
no.
Empire area. No, I will not do that. But because that's really rad. My fallback is like the Palm Desert area. Diane in the chat room said, oh, that's inexpensive. It's not inexpensive. But relative to the rest of California, it's almost affordable. So there are houses for rent in Palm Desert, Cathedral City, Palm Springs
right.
even. There's a whole bunch of Indio, out where they do Coachella, that area.
Right.
And a lot of musician friends of mine who've left LA have moved out to that area. So that's the other, you know, if Arizona and Florida are out of the question, it might be that.
Like I told you earlier, the only disadvantage to that
is hot.
That I can think of.
Yes.
125 degrees. I mean, we were there.
June, July, August. Well, June, July,
well,
August,
no, this,
September.
Yeah,
are
it
the...
was, it was, yeah. And we were staying at a hotel and I wanted to walk over to the office from our room. I couldn't walk the entire length of the grounds because it was so hot. I had to stop and go into a shaded area and then continue because it was prohibitive. It really gets bad. So you'd have to be prepared for that. Make sure your air conditioning is working. So.
Yes, of course.
And don't go outside.
And we're going to rent a house that has a pool so that there's always
well, yeah.
that. We have to.
Yeah.
There's no way around that. Plus, he
yeah.
runs in the pool. David exercises, you know, incessantly. And he runs. He can't run on land because, you know.
Right. It's too.
But he runs in the pool almost every day. So that we need to, you know. And if we do that, and then hopefully we'll make enough money so that we can summer in a cooler climb. I don't know. One friend of mine, a musician friend of mine from LA, is living full time like in Desert Hot Springs, and then he bought a place in, damn it, no, I can't think of the name of the town, but higher up in the mountains for summers. So, right. You know, we may just have to hang out at Dan's house. So anyway, yeah, no, not Simi Valley. No.
Simi Valley is out near where I am.
Yes, and it's too expensive. Look, okay, you know that I'm a masochist. So I owned 3 houses in the 15 years that I lived in Los Angeles. The smallest one was this little cottage in Laurel Canyon. I was on Kirkwood Drive. And you know, I think I bought it for maybe $150,000 back in 95 and sold it in 96, I think maybe for 200 or 250. And I thought, there's no way this house will ever go for anything more than that. I mean, it's this tiny little thing. It was on land. It was in a great area. On Zillow, I looked it up today because I'm a masochist. $1,270,000+.
Yeah. Oh, easily.
Same thing with the house that I had on Woodrow Wilson Drive, also in the Hollywood Hills. And then my house in Culver City, which was the last place I lived. Well, it dropped a little bit in price. It was over $2 million before the interest rates went up. Now it's a little bit under $2 million. I sold that for $430,000 in 2001. So I'm kicking myself because I suck at real estate. I could be sitting really pretty right now if I never left LA, but you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda.
That's the way it be.
That's my middle name. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. Yeah.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Every place is expensive. You can go, you can pull on like a go to Zillow or something and put your parameters. And we're looking for a rental now. We're not going to buy anything. And there is nothing in all of like Southern California, from Orange, from San Diego up to Ventura, up to Ojai, up to Santa Barbara. There is literally nothing that comes up in our price range. But if you extend it out further east, that Palm Desert area, a few things pop up. So,
yeah.
So that's what we're, you know.
Well, it's the same in Canada. When we were looking for a place to rent, there was literally nothing in the area we wanted. And nothing. I mean, zero. And then you go further in toward Vancouver and it gets ridiculously expensive for a little 600 square foot nothing.
Yep.
And usually you have to go into a high rise, and we don't want to go into a high rise. We have a dog. You don't want to go down 25 floors every time you have to go pee with the dog, you know? So we lucked out. I mean, this was just, you know, I've said this to you before. We lucked out that a townhouse that we had seen on a different trip became unexpectedly available because somebody had to leave it. We snatched it right up. It didn't even go on the market. So we're renting, you know, we're leasing this townhouse for at least a year. And it's great. It's 1,800 square feet.
Wow.
And for Canada, that's huge.
Uh-huh.
I mean, huge. So, and it's got 4 bedrooms, and we're going to be able to share it with, you know, the boys. And it's just great. And it's in the exact area we wanted. It's a gorgeous area. Upscale.
Yeah.
You know, we lucked out.
Good. I can't wait. See, I'll come visit you if we're living in Palm Desert and it's too hot in the summertime. I'll come up and visit you. But, you know, Obama the other day did a thing in Arizona, and he understands why I won't move there if Carrie Lake wins the governor's race.
Here in Arizona, there's no question that Katie Hobbs' opponent, she's good in front of the camera because she's been doing it for a long time.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So, some people don't know this, but apparently Carrie Lake actually interviewed me back in 2016 when I was president. She was a local news anchor. She was doing her job. At the time, I don't remember thinking that she was the kind of person who would push debunked COVID remedies.
No, she was an Obama supporter.
Or issue a declaration of invasion at our border, or claim without any evidence that the 2020 election was stolen. I guess that stuff came later because she found it convenient, because she thought, well, here's an opportunity to get attention. Listen, if we hadn't just elected somebody whose main qualification was being on TV, you could see maybe giving it a shot. What's the worst that could happen?
Well, now we know.
It doesn't just work out just because somebody's been on TV.
Right. And the fact is that she, whoops, I'm bringing up the wrong picture here. The fact is that that she, when she was on TV, apparently was a reasonable Democrat. She was an Obama supporter. She had, I heard a trans woman say that she was a dear friend, and now she doesn't recognize this person anymore.
This is what happens. It's like you said, it's convenience. How can I win?
Right.
Who can I hook up with that's going to make me successful?
Yes, exactly.
Whose coattails can I ride?
Right. So this is Carrie Lake today after she voted. And this should answer any questions as to why I will not go to Arizona if Carrie Lake becomes governor.
I'm going to not only be the governor of Arizona for 4 years, I'm going to do 2 terms. I'm going to be your worst freaking nightmare for 8 years. And we will reform the media as well. We're going to make you guys into journalists again. So get ready. It's going to be a fun 8 years. I can't wait to be working with you guys.
Oh, God. You know what? I would tell her just to fuck herself with a sharp something. I have no patience for people like that. She's the hypocrite of the highest order because she's pandering. She knows what she needs to do to get power. She has no principles, just like Trump. I guess that's why they like each other.
Right. Right. Why do they always have to sound that vicious and that hateful? I keep trying to come up with a word. They're thugs. That's what I would expect somebody to say who had me at gunpoint.
Yeah.
I'm going to make your life miserable. Give me your money.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to make your life miserable.
Yeah.
And this is what America is accepting. This is the norm for them. This is what they're voting for. This is like, oh, we like that because they sound so strong.
Yeah.
And we don't like Democrats because Democrats are losers. I mean, I
But
what
you
is
know what?
Wrong with
these people,
by
these people, I'm talking about Republicans, and especially the Republicans in office, who all know that Donald Trump is dangerous. They know he's a fucking moron. They know he does not belong in the White House. He doesn't belong anywhere near power, right?
He belongs in a big house.
But they back him because they can hang on his coattails and retain power. It's all about power for them. So the last governor of this state, if you may recall, was Voldemort, Rick Scott. Rick Scott now runs the Senate, the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee. And so he was at this rally that that Trump had in Florida that DeSantis wasn't invited to, by the way. It was a rally for Rubio. And listen to this Freudian slip from Rick Voldemort Scott. You got to listen carefully because it goes by really fast.
We're going to have a big win on Tuesday. We're going to get rid of rid of Joe Biden.
Did you hear that?
Oh, yep.
Let's hear it again. We're going to
We're going to get rid of Joe Biden.
He started to say, we're going to get rid of Donald Trump. And then he caught himself. Boy, out of the mouths of babes or creepy slime senators.
Nobody likes Trump.
Nobody.
Everybody hates his guts, but he gets them where they want to go. And at what cost? That's what I don't get. Do they not understand? Do the voters not understand that when, let's say, the governor of their state is making voting difficult, that it affects Republicans as well as Democrats? When older people can't access the voting booth, that goes for Republicans too. Their kids are having a tougher time voting because there can be Republicans as well as Democrats.
Yep.
I mean, I don't get how they, I mean, you know, remember what's the matter with Kansas?
Oh, sure.
Why are you voting?
Well,
you know, you're against
Thomas
your own
Frank,
self-interest?
Who's one of my favorite guests. Yeah. But here, I mean, again, have you seen this last DeSantis ad? I played it yesterday, but I may have to play it again. You haven't. All right. Then I have to play it again because you know what? I may set it up so that we can watch your face while this ad is playing. I think that's what we have to do. Give me a moment to get the shot set up because it is so out there. And yes, so offensive that it's just mind-blowing. So let me set up the shot. It doesn't matter if they're cut off a little bit. And put us, if I can figure out how to do this, in the side because we do need to get... Oh, I know how I can do it. I'm just going to make it smaller and kind of put it in the middle of us.
Oh, there's a good idea.
Yeah. Okay. So it'll be like this, and I'll put it up here, and I'm going to move you a little bit off to the side and me a little bit off to the side so everyone can see it. I'm making this, and for the people listening to the audio, I'm sorry, it's just going to sound exactly like, you know, it sounds. But for the people watching one of the video streams, I want you to see it. Okay, Laffy, for your reaction, this is the newest ad for Ron DeSantis that his wife, allegedly, Casey, put out for him.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a protector. So God made a fighter. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, kiss his family goodbye, travel thousands of miles for no other reason than to serve the people, to save their jobs, their livelihoods, their liberty, their happiness. So God made a fighter. God said, I need someone to be strong, advocate truth in the midst of hysteria, someone who challenges conventional wisdom and isn't afraid to defend what he knows to be right and just.
Oh my God.
So God made a fighter.
God?
God said, I need somebody who will take the arrows, stand firm in the wake of unrelenting attacks, look a mother in the eyes and tell her that her child will be in school. She can keep her job, go to church, eat dinner with friends, and hold the hand of an aging parent
and
taking their breath for the last time.
And die at a higher rate than the rest
of
the country.
So God made a fighter. God said, I need a family man. A man who would laugh and then sigh and then reply with smiling eyes when his daughter says she wants to spend her life doing what dad does.
The following.
So God made a fighter.
Damn it.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. Are you fucking never stop fighting for freedom? So Laffy, what'd you think?
They're sick. I love the end that the daughter is supposed to do what daddy does. So she's going to grow up to be a Q-nut and kiss ass to some crazy person who thinks he's king.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So,
oh my God. That's like parody. That's
right. I played it yesterday and I'm watching the comments in the chat room and someone said, wait a minute, that's real? I thought that was from The Onion.
Exactly.
It is astounding. And apparently that's one of the things that pissed Donald Trump off so bad because he's the Christian nationalist candidate, don't you know? He's one who got anointed to be king of Florida. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Oh, my God. And that voice.
That's one of the most obnoxious pieces of film I've ever seen in my life.
Isn't it?
And than every Trump ad.
And yet they released that like it's a thing. All right, so I was just reminded
is that people fall for it.
No kidding. Well, someone,
it's one thing that they release it.
Yeah.
But, you know, people like it.
Yep. Okay. For Errol in the chat room, who's very, you know, disconcerted that we have not yet let loose the birdies.
Oh, the birdies.
Sorry.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Okay, so did you have any tweets that you wanted to share today
on
this election day?
I don't know if we should call my tweet spot anymore, but
I know
these are tweets.
Well, but I came up with another thought. The Mastodon moment.
Yeah, it could be the Mastodon.
It could
Although I'm also on Counter Social.
Yeah.
So the Counter Social Mastodon Twitter moment, I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see where we wind up. I don't know. Yep.
Well, I'm not going to leave Twitter unless he charges.
or it gets really so bad that you can't even be. Well, let me tell you what happened with Twitter. Okay. So I got to play this for you. Again, it's something that many in the chat have already seen, but that's okay. You can deal with it again for less than 2 minutes. After Elon Musk, you know, spent $44 billion to buy Twitter, the most asinine move I've heard of. Really, $44 billion? I could think a lot of things to do with that money that doesn't include blowing it on Twitter. Anyway, when he said he was going to charge for the blue checks, which, by the way, just says that your account is verified so that if I tweet, you know that I'm actually me and it's not somebody pretending to be me. That's all it was. Never paid right. for it. Never was right. asked to pay for it. So right. when I heard the news, I thought, take your blue check and shove it. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, that's a song. So I scribbled down some lyrics and I sent them off to our friend Lauren Mayer, who tweaked them a little bit and recorded
it. I saw this.
Well, you didn't,
I love this.
Right. And recorded it. And she sent me the audio back. And then I downloaded some tweets and I put together a video. So the video, I tried to post directly on Twitter. The moment I hit post, I got an immediate notice that my account had been frozen and suspended until I delete the offensive tweet.
What was offensive? You don't know.
The tweet, the video. Because at first I tweeted, you know, something about Elon Musk and I sent it to him and I thought, okay, maybe that's it. So I tried to post it again, just as a standalone with no commentary. Immediately did the same thing, froze my account, deleted it. Lauren, 2 days later, tried to post it. Same thing happened. So Elon Musk, take your fucking blue check and shove it, buddy.
Take your blue check and shove it. I ain't tweeting here no more. Just cause you paid a fortune for Twitter. Not a billion, but 44. And now you want us to make up the difference because you overspent. Well, take your blue check and shove it. I ain't paying you one red cent. I've been posting here on Twitter for all these years for free. And now you want to make up for budget losses by shaking down folks like me. You're firing the staff at a company you have no idea how to run. So the whole thing's likely to blow up, just like your cars have done. Take your blue check and shove it. Like so many other folks, I'm done. There's a sucker and a schmuck born every minute, and Musk, you're the biggest one. Your spreading of hatred and misinformation is too blatant to ignore. So take your blue check and shove it. I ain't tweeting here no more. Take your blue check and shove it. Yeah, we're walking out the door. Take all of Twitter and shove it. We ain't tweeting here no more.
Oh, and somebody, it appears, is calling. So, Laffy.
By the way,
yes,
before you take the call,
yeah,
they put a warning up on one of my tweets.
Did they?
A warning to people who read it, because I said, if you need to find me, I'll be on, you know, other sites as well as this one. Look at my bio, and they said that I was a spam bot.
Oh.
I typed it out myself.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't rude about it. I just said, you know, I'll be here, but I'll also be elsewhere.
Right. And that,
and they put a warning up.
Oh. Well, all I had to do was delete the tweet and they let me back on. But then I posted it on YouTube. And I posted the YouTube video on Twitter, and it's still there. The thing is, they just don't let the YouTube videos go through very often, uh-huh. as much as if you posted directly on Twitter, but they wouldn't let that go at all. Because poor little Elon, or as Marcy Wheeler calls him, Elmo.
Elmo.
I call him Elmo now, too. I stole that from Marcy.
I call him Muskrat.
So anyway, so I'm still there, but... I don't expect to be. And now I've become fearless. I don't care. I used to like try to be a little more diplomatic in what I tweeted. When he posted something, oh, you have this tweet in your thing. I'll wait till you get to it, and I'll tell you what my response to it was. And
they didn't
even kick me off for this, so I'm surprised. Right. So go
he's
with
not
the
consistent.
Tweets. Yeah, go with the tweets. What tweets do you got?
No, the caller.
No.
Caller.
It's okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I added one more since we talked.
Okay.
This one's just for you. I got to make you little though, so I can see it.
Okay.
There we go. This is from Dan Frumkin. DeSantis is attempting to block the Department of Justice election monitors from gaining access to polling places in South Florida.
I have that story.
The Florida Secretary of State's office, which Republican Governor DeSantis oversees, would instead send its own monitors to those three counties, which are among the most Democratic-leaning counties in Florida.
It's amazing. And it's not only here. Here, DeSantis administration is attempting to block the DOJ election monitors from gaining access to polling places here in South Florida, saying in a letter that the federal government's involvement would be, quote, counterproductive and in violation of the law. This man is a dictator. He doesn't know what the violation of the law is. Right. On Monday, the DOJ announced it would send federal monitors to 64 jurisdictions nationwide to monitor how elections are being conducted. Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach were all slated for these monitors, and he's saying no.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Doesn't federal law trump? No,
yes.
No pun.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
So anyway. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. So,
all right. So yeah. I have two doomsday tweets that I'm just throwing out there because they represent a lot of what I'm seeing.
Okay.
I'm seeing so many tweets about the election, and most of them are like, vote blue, but they don't say much.
Yeah.
These are bad ones. So, you know, this is not necessarily what I wanted to put out there, but okay. Decision Desk Headquarters, which is a reliable.
Yes. Yes, it is. In fact, that's where I will be monitoring tonight and tomorrow during the show as we go through the results.
I'm not going to be watching.
Okay, that's fine.
I will. This is the first time in my life I didn't watch Rachel last night because she did the roundtable election thing.
Yeah.
And what was the point?
I know. We've heard it all. Right.
Yeah. And then tonight it won't be complete anyway.
Right.
And I don't want to hear the bad. I'll just get alerts on my phone. I can't deal with it.
Right.
I really can't.
I hear you.
And plus, I'm having eye surgery tomorrow, and I'm just freaking out anyway.
Right.
Okay. So the Decision Desk said this is their 2022 election forecast top line. In other words, this is their final thing. Although today, I think one of the people who works there said that they've changed their minds a little, but I didn't see him elaborate. So anyway, the Senate, they say Republicans are favored 57% chance of winning. The projection is 51 Republican seats to 49 Democratic. The House, the Republicans are favored 79% chance of winning. The projection is 231 Republicans and 204 Democrats. Okay, so that was depressing enough. Then there's a guy who is, I'll read you his little bio. It's short, so you won't be bored. His name is Melvin Goodman, Mel Goodman. He's a senior
not Saul,
fellow.
Not Saul Goodman, but Mel
not
Goodman.
Saul Goodman.
Okay.
Melvin A. Goodman.
Melvin. Okay.
Melvin, a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy in D.C., an adjunct professor of international relations at Johns Hopkins.
Okay.
He's his 42-year government career included tours at the CIA, the Department of State, and the Department of Defense's National War College, where he was a professor of international security.
Okay.
There's a long, long resume behind that. But just so you know, he's not a schlep. You know, he knows what he's talking about. So he sent this to a friend of mine. These are his words. Well, I got to show
okay.
that.
Okay. Got it. Yep.
His words. I'm expecting the worst, including the Senate, and 20-plus seats lost in the House, and possibly a governor or two. So I'm not anxious, but merely sad and depressed. A little of each. We're going downhill, and I know that these things come in waves, and waves can be reversed, but I see no way of turning this around. We live in two different countries, two different economic and educational strata, two different cultures, And let's face it, we lost. I don't expect violence, but it's simply a much different America with a national character that is somewhat repulsive. I guess the dull Eisenhower 50s weren't so bad after all. I've signed up to do some election analysis tomorrow night, meaning tonight, yep. For a syndicated radio show, so at least I can vent on air. C'est la guerre. And, wow. What I agree with is that things come in waves. They can be reversed. Things look pretty abysmal right now. But like you've said, there are some glimmers of hope here and there.
There are.
There's huge turnout of youth in I think it was Georgia and I forgot the other state. But there were two tweets I read and they were showing the lines.
Yes.
And they were young people.
Good. Good. Not Florida, but certainly Georgia, although early voting in Florida broke records. Florida, Texas,
right.
Both. I want to share with you a Twitter thread that I read in between when we spoke and now from Chris Hayes. And I like Chris Hayes. So here's what he wrote. And it's a lengthy thread, so bear with me. He says, while we all wait for returns, some thoughts about my expectations for today and the implications at the broadest level for American democracy. First, I think the Republican Party poses a serious threat to American democracy and has turned away from democratic norms and towards authoritarian delusions and aspirations. That said, I don't think a GOP victory this week signals the end of democracy. There's no final definitive moment. There will remain many means of democratic resistance to authoritarian aspirations that the broad pro-democratic majority will have to use. Courts, protest, elections, etc. In terms of what to expect, if you look at the last two times the Democratic Party has entered a midterm with the White House and both houses of Congress, they've gotten blown out.
Of
minus
course,
54
yeah.
seats in 94, minus 63 in 2010.
Right.
So in analyzing what Dems did or didn't do correctly, it's probably worth grading on a historical curve.
Mm-hmm.
The party holding both houses of Congress with inflation at 8% is going to be a big underdog in a midterm election, full stop. If Ds were to have a relatively good night, holding losses to even 25 House seats and having a shot at the Senate in a Georgia runoff, for example, this would be a significant overperformance.
Right.
Everyone,
I've heard this too.
He says everyone will focus on messaging, etc., but the structural factors dominate. And it's precisely because the structural factors are so powerful and thermostatic public opinion so present that the debates about democratic messaging miss the point a bit. The definition of a functioning multi-party democracy is that different parties sometimes win. But that doesn't work if one party wants to blow the system up. There's
right.
a sense a lot of people have that A, the GOP is a threat to democracy, and ergo B, the Democratic Party just has to win every election. I get why, but that's not really a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, well, you need to assemble a broad pro-democracy coalition. And yes, that's hard, and yes, it will involve compromise, and I agree. But there's not some obvious way in this society to just win 52% plus in every election.
Right.
Anyone who tells you there is full of it. Ultimately, the changes have to come in the conservative movement and the Republican Party. It has to be made into a party that can be trusted to embrace democratic rules and norms. I'm not sure how to do that, but winning elections is triage, which leaves us in the pro-democracy majority to just fight on and muddle through. That's not, I guess, a satisfying prescription. But it's what we've got now, I think. The only thing you can't do is give up.
How do we get past Wisconsin?
I don't know.
Do you know
by
what
the
I'm
way,
saying?
Yes, but
because they're going to make it an eternally Republican state now. According, if they, because we even if what was it if we got 50, if they got 50. I can't even remember what this was, but it wouldn't matter. And even if Evers was the governor, it wouldn't matter. He would be overruled by the legislature.
By a Republican legislature. But
how do we do the self-perpetuating end of democracy in Wisconsin? Because without Wisconsin, we have to win something else. We have to win a state somewhere else in the general.
Yeah.
And I I don't get how we get past some of this.
I don't know, but you know what? I'm not, I refuse to concede. I refuse to go to a place of despair. I am holding out hope that it will be a mixed result. Okay, but
neither am I holding, you know, I'm not saying there's no hope. And of course, I continue to fight. That should be a given. I hate when people say, why don't you just stay and fight? Well, I am fighting. What do you think I'm doing? But I'm asking questions that never get answers. And that is, if you have state legislatures throwing elections, how do you get past that?
There's the rub, as they say. If they get their election deniers in place in more than a small handful of states, we are really fucked. I mean, we're fucked anyway.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So that's not, I mean, it is doomsday in a way because you don't have answers. We don't, no, not you. I'm not saying.
I know.
But we don't have answers because that's how they're winning. They're cheating. And so how do you get past the cheat? How do we ever overcome that? And I mean, I don't have an answer. And that's one of the reasons we're going to Canada, because it gives me time to think about it without being surrounded by it all the time. Anyway, it's getting late. So let me give you a couple more tweets
here. Okay. Go.
Most of it is about Elon.
Elmo.
Oh, but here's SV Date.
Okay.
From the Huffington Post. Reminder that per the standard set by the leader of the GOP, and which most Republicans have not criticized, every Democratic Senate candidate would be perfectly within their right to declare victory right now and demand that voting counting be halted at once. So we could just do that.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. Okay. Ben Collins, he said he covers the dark underworld of the internet. And he said, he's talking about when Elon Musk tweeted about parody accounts.
Right.
You'll get kicked off unless you say you're a parody account. Like I always say with content moderation, says Ben, every social media site owner who is pro free speech meets their line eventually. For 4chan, it was anime child porn.
Right, that's
right. Facebook and YouTube, it was white nationalist terror. For Elon, it was people making fun of him.
Yes, it was. Oh, hold on. I thought I had
to. Here's the one you were talking.
I thought I was going to hit my ding, and I hit the wrong button twice. There we go.
I think this is the tweet you were talking about.
Yeah.
Elon talking about recommending that you vote Republican in his tweet.
Yep.
And Oliver Willis in all caps. And I said, this is how you respond. I agree. This is how you should respond. In all caps, Oliver Willis said, Musk backs fascist GOP days after buying, I'm sorry, Musk backs fascist GOP days after buying Twitter. In other words, get real, get loud, get in his face. This is how a headline should read, instead of just, well, Elon's saying everybody should vote Republican and we shouldn't, get in his face about it.
Well,
talk
here was my,
Democrats.
As I said, I've come to the point where I don't give two fucks. So when he tweeted out on November 7th, yesterday, to independent-minded voters, shared power curbs the worst excesses of both parties. Therefore, I recommend voting for a Republican Congress, given that the presidency is Democratic. And I quote tweeted that, and above it I wrote, hey, Elmo, fuck you. Way to keep neutral, asshole. See, that's how you respond to a tweet like that.
Right, exactly. But I'm talking about, the New York Times.
I know.
I'm talking about people, journalists who are out there having to sort of watch what they say a little more than we do, and get in his face. And the goddamn media should be worried sick.
Yep.
And instead, they just feed into this bullshit of his. Oh my God. Anyway, and what Ellie Mistal said about that very thing, Elon said, to independent-minded voters, shared power curbs the worst. He said this always been the end game here. He and Jack Dorsey, who handed Twitter over to him, they're both trying their best to kind of join forces and control social media and get the message out there. And that's what their end game was. Somebody did a really good thread on that. I wish I had it in front of me. And finally, my last one is LOL GOP. There was a tweet that went out that said, libs of TikTok has tagged yet another children's hospital on Twitter with the obvious and predictable consequence that the hospital's account is being bombarded with harassment from Libs of TikTok fans. And LOL GOP said, as long as they don't do anything dangerous, like use a profile image of Elon before the hair plugs, they'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
a thin skin thing. Maybe Elon needs to spend $44 billion to learn how to thicken up his skin.
Yep.
Just saying.
Yep. I just think what's going to happen with Elmo is that he's running into so many problems now, even over with Tesla. I just had two articles go by about how badly Tesla's doing. He's going to run it into the ground. He's gonna crash and burn Twitter, which is what he wants. And either somebody's gonna have to pick up the pieces, or he's just gonna be left with ashes, and people will just leave in droves, and that'll be it.
Oh, and they already are. In fact, Twitter. I don't have the numbers. Twitter has just hemorrhaged users since his takeover, and Mastodon has grown exponentially.
Oh yeah. They're constantly having to up their bandwidth and all that stuff. And so is Counter Social, by the way.
Is it? Okay.
They're all crashing because so many people are jumping on.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So
and I'm at both of them.
Yeah, I am too, but I don't really use them much. I need to streamline.
I
but
do.
You know what? It's going to be after the move, just because right now I'm doing like sort of the bare minimum in here, but I am doing stuff in here.
Right.
But I'm trying to pack and sell stuff and get rid of stuff
of
and purge.
Oh my God, yes.
And I'm a pack rat. So, yeah.
And we'll be driving up to Canada in a few weeks. And so I'll be doing the same. You know, I'll be unable to do as much as I want to on all three. So, because I'm juggling all three now. I'm juggling Twitter, Counter Social, and Mastodon. I've got 1,000 followers now on Mastodon already.
Wow.
You know why?
Why?
Walt Schaub gave me a shout out.
Really?
Walt Schaub.
Nice.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And so I've been getting all these followers because he puts out lists of people to follow. And I'm among the big shots for some reason. And he never followed me on Twitter.
Oh, how funny. Wow.
So here,
interesting.
You know, I'm very appreciative because it does help, because otherwise I'd be out there with 100 people reading my stuff, and that doesn't do much good if I'm trying to get some information out.
That's true. And right now I'm not even worrying about it.
But you have the show.
I have no other
outlet.
Right.
And so when I hemorrhage, readers, I can't, what good does it do to put out a really important news story or commentating if nobody's there to read it?
Yeah.
So I
hear
followers.
I hear you. You know, I found this essay a few weeks ago. I don't know if you ever heard it on Facebook, of all places. I don't know who wrote it. It's unattributed, but it was so brilliant that I actually recorded it and I put it up as like a standalone, and I titled it Reasons to Vote in These Elections.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a few minutes, just a couple of minutes here, or do you need to run?
I probably need to run.
Okay, because I'm going to go out with it, because this is our last chance and I want to get this out. So,
okay, I'll get offline and you take the screen and go for it.
Okay. All right. So Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh. And hopefully you'll be back in 2 weeks, before my last show, before I take a little hiatus.
I should be able to do that. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm counting on doing that.
Okay. All right. Well, Gotta Laugh, everybody. Hi. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. All right. So I am going to leave you with this, and then I'll leave you with the news. But again, it's not a great video by any means, but the sentiment is perfect. And if you want to share this today, what I'll do is post it on my blog along with today's show. And again, it's that this essay, I guess, that I found on Facebook that is so spot on for the times we're living in. So here we go. And I'll see you guys tomorrow. Thank you and good luck to all of us. Why vote blue in the 2022 midterm? I'm 14 and I'm struggling in algebra class. When I ask for help, the male teacher says, I'm not surprised, girls aren't that good at algebra. I'm 18 and go to my first fraternity parties with girlfriends. We don't ever say it out loud, but it's understood that we need to stick together at these parties and not get separated for our own safety. I'm 20. And I'm working as a hostess at the Red Lion Inn in San Jose near the airport. Men in suits come in to eat after their meetings during the day, and I see them take off their wedding rings before heading into the bar next to the restaurant. every girl who works there learns quickly not to bend too far over because of the short skirts of our uniforms. I'm 22, and it's my first day on a new job. My male supervisor gets me into a room alone, and I think he's going to tell me about the job, but instead he tells me how much he likes sex and how he needs to have it every day. I get up and walk out of the room and avoid him after that, but I don't tell anyone because I'm one of the only women there and I don't know what to do. I'm 24, and I'm watching Anita Hill on TV, testifying about a man who wants to be on the Supreme Court. I don't understand everything I'm watching, but I understand that she's a black woman facing down a panel of white men, and she's going to lose because at 24, I do understand who has power and who does not. I'm at any age in my 20s, and I'm walking down the street, in a park, in a city, in a suburb, anywhere. Men tell me to smile. To wait a minute, to slow down. What's my hurry? Can I ask you a question? Can I stand too close to you? Can I demand your space, your time, your attention? Hey, where are you going, bitch? I'm 25. I'm buying my first car and the salesman offers a price I know is way too high. I bring my stepdad to the showroom and the same car is now $3,000 less. I smile and I buy the car, but inside I'm seething. I'm any age in my 30s, and I think about where I park, where I go, whether I should get in that elevator that only has one man in it, and how I should make sure not to make eye contact with men in the streets. All of this is normal to me, and I don't question any of it. I'm 35. I'm buying my second car, and the salesman says, we should wait for my husband to get there before talking about the price, but would I like to see the makeup mirror? I tell him I'm a lesbian, and if he's waiting for my husband, he's going to be waiting a long time. I leave because I'm learning. I'm 40, and a woman, Hillary Clinton, is taking a serious run at the Democratic presidential nomination. She's smart, tough, and qualified, but she endures endless anger, viciousness, and misogyny, and she eventually loses in the primary. Male friends tell me it's probably for the best because there's just something they don't like about her, you know? I'm 49, and a man who said he grabs women by the pussy is elected as the 45th president of the United States. The night of the election, I feel physically ill, and my first conscious thought is, my God, the Supreme Court. The next morning, I overhear two men laughing and congratulating each other about the election, and I feel unsafe in my own country. I'm 51, and another man who stands credibly accused of sexual assault has just been confirmed to serve on the Supreme Court. I see women on television sobbing, screaming, protesting, crying out in their anguish and their fear. I am so angry. I think of every woman I know, and I am so angry. I am any age, every age. I am a woman. I am a daughter. I am discounted. I am underrepresented. I am underestimated. But I am a voter. Today, that has to be enough. Author unknown. Whoever wrote that, thank you. A million times, thank you.
It's time for Nicole Sandler. What's news from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The big day is here. Candidates made their closing appeals for votes on Monday night ahead of today's midterm elections. President Biden and the twice impeached, disgraced former guy Donald Trump continued their last-minute campaign swings as well. President Biden voiced his ire for election deniers, saying, quote, you can't only love your country when you win. Trump campaigned for the Republican Senate nominee, J.D. Vance, in Ohio. You know, the guy who used to refer to Trump as America's Hitler. What could possibly go wrong? But instead of talking much about J.D. Vance, he talked a lot about himself and said that he's going to make a very big announcement on November 15th at Mar-a-Lago. Trump alleging that he didn't announce his 2024 campaign, saying he didn't want to detract from the importance of tomorrow's very important, even critical election. Right. With massive disinformation campaigns being waged by the right, a number of newspapers nationally are trying to inform the electorate of how things actually work. The Los Angeles Times is cautioning voters, quote, forget election night results. Answers might take days or weeks in some races. The New York Times is quoting researchers warning that the, quote, biggest surge of misinformation could actually come in the days after election day.
You see, already the maggots have been setting the stage to claim victory long before all the votes are counted. In a democracy, you count all the votes before declaring a winner. Just saying. But you know, there's a lot at stake in these midterm elections. Democrats are playing defense in blue state strongholds as they try to hang on to control of the House of Representatives. Republicans only need a net gain of 5 seats to win back control of the House. Over on the Senate side, it's just a handful of swing state showdowns that'll decide the future of the Senate. It's currently split 50-50. So what are the states to watch? Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Nevada. They tell us those are where multiple critical races could shift the balance of power. And what happens in those states will also impact issues like abortion rights, economic policy, education, and the climate crisis, both inside their borders and across the country. Republicans, of course, are already preemptively trying to game the vote. Republican officials in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin are trying to get thousands of mail-in ballots disqualified in what the Democrats are calling attempted voter suppression. Republican leaders in those three states have urged Republicans to cast their ballots in person on Election Day. A Michigan judge on Monday rejected a request from Republican Christina Caramo. She's running to be the state's top election official and is seeking expanded observer access and tighter rules for voting in Detroit. Wonder why Detroit? Pennsylvania's Supreme Court sided with the Republican National Committee, ruling that the officials in the state cannot count ballots that don't have a date on the outer envelope, even if they arrive before Election Day. Wisconsin Republicans won a court ruling barring mail ballots from being counted without the required witness address. Those are only a few examples of Republican candidates who have pushed Donald Trump's lies about voter fraud and are using his playbook to preemptively claim that their elections may be fraudulent. Blake Masters, the MAGA candidate running for the U.S. Senate seat in Arizona against Democrat Mark Kelly, said, quote, "There's always cheating in every election." No, there isn't. Also, attempting to game the system is billionaire, actually richest person on the planet, Elon Musk, who blew $44 billion to buy Twitter instead of using it to do actual good for the world. Well, he tweeted a recommendation for independents to vote for Republican candidates. So much for keeping the platform neutral. Yeah. Election experts continue warning of a surge in online misinformation. And then there's this. A Southwest Ohio man shot and killed his neighbor because he believed he was a Democrat. The shooter was taken into custody by sheriff's deputies just before noon after the shooting was reported, and investigators found Anthony Lee King dead from multiple gunshot wounds. The victim's son told dispatchers, quote, "My neighbor just shot my dad. He's come over multiple times making statements. He's insane." The victim's wife told dispatchers that her 43-year-old husband had been cutting grass and doing yard work when she went inside to let their dog out, and then she heard gunshots. And she said, quote, "I look in the backyard and that man is walking away from my husband and my husband is on the ground. He's come over like 4 times confronting my husband because he thought he was a Democrat. Why? Please, I don't understand." The 26-year-old shooter was arrested a short time later while driving away from the shooting scene with his father. His bond was set at $950,000 on suspicion of murder. More than 25 countries at the COP27 climate talks launched a group they said would ensure that they hold each other accountable for a pledge to end deforestation by 2030, and they announced billions of dollars to finance their efforts. Meanwhile, former Vice President Al Gore on Monday joined leaders at the COP27 climate conference in Egypt and urged nations around the world to make those hard decisions and act fast to fight climate change. Gore saying, quote, "It is not time for moral cowardice." Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned world leaders to, quote, "cooperate or perish" in the effort to drastically reduce carbon emissions that are leading to a, quote, "climate hell." Then he singled out the two worst polluters, China and the United States. Go figure. Leaders of poor nations called for the world's leading economies to shoulder the costs of reducing emissions. Central African Republican president saying, quote, Africa should not pay for crimes they have not committed. So yesterday I told you about Tropical Storm Nicole. Well, thankfully, my namesake storm appears to be tracking slightly north. My home in Broward County will escape her wrath. Now, if Nicole continues on the current trajectory, she could come ashore right near Mar-a-Lago. The latest hurricane warning issued goes from Boca Raton on the south, north through Volusia County. Stay safe out there. Oh, one last item. If you thought you were going to be a couple of billion dollars richer on Monday night, well, you had to wait a little longer. The Powerball drawing, which was initially scheduled for 10:59 p.m. Eastern Time, was postponed when at least one of the 48 participating state lotteries needed more processing time. All right. So the drawing was held Tuesday morning, and here are the winning numbers for a record-breaking $2.04 billion jackpot. You ready? The winning numbers are 10, 33, 41, 47, 56, and 10. If you're a winner, remember your favorite radio hosts. And that's just a bit of what's news. For now, I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.